Welcome back to the Anger Reset. In this session, we'll look at anger from three angles: physical, psychological, and spiritual. And we'll introduce you to the Anger Reset approach, a biblical response to anger that relies on God's grace and power to navigate anger in a transformative way. Remember, I'm an attorney and pastor, not a medical or mental health professional. Our focus isn't on clinical diagnosis or treatment, but on practical, faith-rooted strategies that help transform destructive reactions into opportunities for healing and reconciliation. Let's begin this session by looking at the New Testament words that relate to anger. They help us see that anger is more than just explosive rage. The New Testament employs three distinct Greek terms to convey the textures of human anger. Each term highlights a different psychological and theological dimension, equipping us with knowledge to diagnose and reset our own fiery impulses more precisely. The first word we consider is thumos. It means a heated outburst of indignation, more like an explosive flare-up than a settled mood. Thumos is often rendered wrath rather than anger, emphasizing the impulsive and intense quality of the emotion. Thumos is an acute arousal that can hijack reasoning within moments. Effective interventions of this type of anger focus on early detection of body cues, such as a racing heartbeat, and rapid reset steps to prevent escalation by making faith choices. The second Greek word we consider is orge. This is a more settled, enduring form of anger, often accompanied by a desire for redress or revenge. Orge is less sudden in its rise than thumos, but more lasting in its nature. Orge resembles a longer-term disposition that shapes one's outlook and can calcify into unforgiveness and bitterness if it is unaddressed. Orge calls for proactive surrender by making faith choices and taking faith steps like confession and forgiveness, the pursuit of peace, so that it doesn't harden into personal vindictiveness. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 12 that the Lord has said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." The third word is paroxysmos. It means the act of provoking or stirring up anger in another, literally to rouse into wrath. It is found only in Ephesians 6:4, where we read, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." This term emphasizes relational dynamics in which one person's words or actions trigger rage in another. Paroxysmos highlights how interpersonal triggers, like harsh discipline, inconsistent expectations, or emotional neglect, can create fertile ground for open aggression. Resetting paroxysmos involves examining our own provoking behaviors, practicing gentle communication, and establishing environments where grace and not provocation prevails. As we examine anger and different anger styles, you will observe how our anger reset approach addresses every dimension of anger described by these three words. Anger is a natural human emotion. We all experience anger. Anger is neither sinful nor shameful in itself. It's part of God's design for signaling when something feels wrong or unsafe. We process anger in different ways. We each have an anger style. An anger style is a habitual pattern for expressing or suppressing anger. Exploders lash out. Imploders bottle it up. Avoiders distract themselves. Your anger style is unique to you. Not everyone processes anger in the same way. Because anger isn't just an emotion, it's a whole person experience. It impacts the body. Anger can increase the heart rate, create muscle tension, and produce an adrenaline rush. It impacts the soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. We can experience recurring thought patterns about whatever triggered our anger, telling ourselves over and over they had no right to do that. We also engage in the mental framing of events in such a way that it perpetuates and feeds our anger. For example, we might assign improper motives to the person who made us angry. The mental frameworks we construct oftentimes feed our anger. Anger also impacts the spirit. Anger always involves spiritual warfare. We have a choice to process our anger through alignment with the priorities of the self-focused system that the Bible calls the flesh, or through alignment with the new nature that we receive by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, what the Bible calls walking in the Spirit. The great news is that through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in every born-again man or woman or child, we don't have to be a slave to anger. When the dashboard warning light of anger flashes and our body and soul react, and we're tempted to give control of the steering wheel to those emotions, the Bible instructs us how to reset the dashboard by making faith choices that empower us, by God's grace, to respond to anger warnings in ways that pursue peace, righteousness, and transformation by letting the Holy Spirit take the wheel rather than the flesh. Let's explore each of these three dimensions and how understanding each one helps us reset our anger by responding in righteousness. As we explore these three dimensions, I want to provide you with a New Testament perspective as to why I'm using spirit, soul, and body in this course. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The word spirit in this verse is pneuma in the Greek. This is the seat of our new life in Christ, the part of our being that communes with God. When we're born again, according to Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, we receive a new spirit as well as God's Holy Spirit. It is through the Spirit that we receive the power of God's grace, the fullness of His love, and every good thing we have in Christ Jesus. The word soul is psuche in the Greek. It is where we get our word psyche and psychology from. When I refer to the soul in this course, I mean our thoughts, our mind, our will, and our emotion. It is in the soul where our anger style takes shape. The word body in Thessalonians 5:23 is soma in the Greek. This is our physical vessel where anger's tension and warning signals register. There are many friends in the body of Christ who interpret soul and spirit to mean the same thing, that invisible aspect of who we are as humans. But in addition to the Apostle Paul's mentioned distinct mention of soul and spirit in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, there's another scripture that draws a similar distinction. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Accordingly, I will apply a grace-centered, three-dimensional approach in this course. We will consider the body, the soma, and how anger affects us physically. We'll consider how we feel anger in our body, a tight chest, clenched jaw, a racing pulse. We'll also consider the soul, the psyche, our psychological response, our mind, our will, our emotions, and how our thoughts influence our anger response. We'll examine ways to identify the thoughts that fuel our anger and discover some of the stories we tell ourselves that actually perpetuate an anger response rather than reset it. And finally, we'll consider the spirit, the pneuma. We'll explore the ways that the Word of God instructs us to overcome in spiritual battles, situations when our dashboard anger warning light is flashing. Things like taking our thoughts captive and replacing them by renewing our mind, replacing anger-producing thoughts with spirit-led, grace-empowered responses that empower us to reset our anger in ways that bring growth, transformation, and reconciled relationships. Imagine your car's warning light. When it flickers on, you don't ignore it. You diagnose the problem, you fix what's wrong, and then you reset the light. So let's begin with the body's response to anger. In the next two slides, we'll see exactly what happens in your body when anger ignites. Let's pop the hood on what happens in our brain the moment the anger light flashes on your dashboard. In an instant, your body shifts into survival mode. Your autonomic nervous system slams down on the gas pedal, called the sympathetic branch, so you can fight or flee. It all starts in the amygdala, the almond-shaped alarm station deep in your brain. The amygdala senses a threat or offense, then signals the hypothalamus, your body's command center, to kick the sympathetic system into gear. Within seconds, your adrenal glands flood your bloodstream with adrenaline and cortisol. Adrenaline makes your heart thunder, your blood pressure climb, and your breathing sharpen, priming your muscles for action. You might feel your face flush or notice that rush of heat as blood races to your limbs. If the anger lingers, cortisol keeps you on high alert, which explains why your heart can still pound 20 minutes after an angry outburst. Because all of this happens below our conscious awareness, we often react before we even think. That's why a sudden insult can trigger an explosive response long before our rational mind catches up. Later, we'll examine anger reset techniques that will help you tap the parasympathetic brakes and reclaim control of the wheel before anger drives you off course. Now let's zoom in on your brain's battle plan when anger strikes. The amygdala, your emotional alarm, detects a threat and yells, "Danger! React now!" This can trigger an amygdala hijack, where that alarm signal races ahead of your prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that reasons, judges, and exercises self-control. In those moments, your thinking brain gets sidelined, and you might blurt out harsh words or slam doors before you even realize it. But this doesn't leave you helpless. You're not a slave to your anger. Simply naming what's happening, "My amygdala is firing," can recruit your prefrontal cortex back into control of your thought processes. Meanwhile, your body's chemistry is in overdrive. A surge of adrenaline, epinephrine, and noradrenaline floods your system, sharpening the focus on the perceived threat and priming your muscles for action. If the anger lingers, the HPA axis kicks in. Your hypothalamus signals the pituitary gland, which tells the adrenal glands to release cortisol, keeping you on high alert. It's why your heart can still pound and your thoughts stay fixated long after the initial flash of anger. Understanding this two-part hijack, the emotional alarm and the chemical surge, helps us catch anger early. We'll learn simple mind-body checks and grounding techniques to tap the brakes of the prefrontal cortex and the parasympathetic nervous system so reason and calm can reclaim the wheel, take control of our thoughts, and make faith choices that engage the Spirit's power to reset our anger. This is some of the amazing impact of anger on our body. Now let's turn to our mind, the psychological dimension. How our thoughts and beliefs can light the fuse of our anger and prolong its impact through the stories we tell ourselves, and how we can rewrite those stories. Let's consider how the world of psychology addresses anger. Everyone has hot buttons, people, places, or situations that instantly ignite our anger. Maybe it's a tone of voice that feels disrespectful, a relationship history that we haven't reconciled, a broken promise that feels unfair, or the stress of a jam-packed schedule that makes every little delay feel personal. Stress lowers our threshold, so even small irritations can become triggers. But anger is rarely the whole story. Think of it like an iceberg. The explosive emotion you see is just the tip of the iceberg. Below the surface are deeper, more vulnerable feelings. Hurt, fear, shame, rejection, or insecurity that are harder to name and express. Because anger can make us feel strong and socially acceptable, it often masks these hidden emotions. For example, you might snap at a coworker who missed a deadline, but underneath you're actually afraid of looking incompetent. Or you lash out at your spouse when you feel ignored, but the real wound is disappointment or loneliness. When we learn to pause and ask what lies beneath my anger, we discover the true issue. Perhaps grief over a loss, shame about a failing, disappointment in a colleague or friend, or anxiety about the future. Naming these things gives us a pathway to address the real need. Sharing with a trusted friend, setting healthier boundaries, seeking wisdom from God's Word, or praying through our fears. Pausing to consider what lies beneath our anger is a faith choice that gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to lead us, to show us what the Lord wants to teach us, what things we need to confess to Him or to others, and to explore opportunities for growth. By diving below the surface of the anger iceberg, we don't deny anger's signal, we honor it, and we learn to reset it from the inside out. Anger isn't triggered by events alone. It's driven by the stories we tell ourselves about those events. Two people can experience the same situation, but react very differently because of the way that they're thinking. Cognitive distortions are mental shortcuts that twist reality and pour fuel on the fire of anger by thinking about the situation in a way that supports an anger response. Let's look at two common types of cognitive distortions. There are many more than two. But one is catastrophizing. Say that again. Catastrophizing, making a mountain out of a molehill. You hear feedback on your project report and you think, this critique ruins my entire reputation. When we catastrophize, our mind jumps to worst case scenarios, turning a manageable issue into a crisis. Another type of cognitive distortion is personalizing. When we personalize a situation, everything's about me. A driver cuts me off in traffic, and I assume they did that just to insult me, when in reality, the other driver is late for an appointment and isn't even thinking about me. When we personalize, we interpret neutral actions as personal attacks, which then stokes resentment and feeds an anger response. By spotting these distortions in real time, we can pause and ask the Lord, how should I look at this? For example, replace "they bumped me on purpose" with "maybe they didn't see me." That simple shift can transform hot anger into calm curiosity. Another way to address distortions is to make a faith choice to think gracefully toward others, to give them the benefit of the doubt, to choose to think about others in light of the way God thinks about you as a believer in Jesus Christ. He loves you. He's forgiven you all of your sin. He's been merciful toward you. He abides in you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He doesn't condemn you. He keeps no record of your wrongs, and that's just scratching the surface. Reminding ourselves about how God has treated us helps empower us to treat others with the same grace that we've received. Throughout this course, practice catching your angry thoughts, labeling the distortions, and asking the Holy Spirit to help you renew your mind and reframe your thoughts toward a grace-empowered reality. Psychology also challenges us to explore how our deeper beliefs and attitudes shape our thought patterns and how to reshape them for lasting change. The ABC model presents a simple map of how events lead to an anger response. The A stands for an activating event. Something happens that triggers a potential anger response. The B stands for belief. This is the story we tell ourselves about the event. The story we tell ourselves influences whether we respond in anger or not. The C stands for consequences. The consequences of the feelings and actions that you experience. The anger, frustration, and lashing out if you express your anger, or a calm and reasoned response. The benefit of this model is that A doesn't directly cause C. Your B, your interpretation of the event, the story you tell yourself, determines whether you will erupt or stay composed. Let's consider a brief example. The activating event is that a driver swerves in front of me as I'm driving to an important meeting. The belief I engage, the thought that comes into my mind, is that the driver is insulting me. The consequence of engaging with that belief is that I express rage. I blast my horn, and maybe I utter some angry words toward that driver. But instead of personalizing the incident by thinking the other driver's actions were directed at me, what if I applied the grace that I've received through Jesus Christ? My interpretation of their action would be different, and it would create a different result. So when the driver swerves in front of me, instead of engaging the thought that they insulted me, I might make a faith choice to treat them with grace and think, oh, they probably didn't even see me. They must be late to an appointment. I might still be annoyed, but instead of expressing rage, I just keep driving. By catching and challenging the thoughts in that moment, is it true that they meant to offend me? We can rewrite the B, what we believe, and transform C, the consequence. Applying biblical wisdom here, this practice is called taking your thoughts captive. This phrase is taken from 1 Corinthians 10:5, which reads, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." When we take our thoughts captive, we exchange distorted thoughts for thoughts that agree with God's word. When we swap, "They did this to hurt me," for "The Lord is with me even here," your emotional consequence shifts from flesh-driven anger to spirit-led grace and peace. Psychologists who recommend the ABC model claim that you can increase the effectiveness of the tool, the ABC tool, by noticing those early body signals, the clenched jaw, the racing heart, whatever your anger cues might be, physical anger cues. But by noticing those right after an activating event occurs, it gives you an opportunity to pause, take a few slow deep breaths, count to 10, or step away for a moment. These small pauses give your prefrontal cortex time to re-engage and take those thoughts captive. This is where the body works with the soul to reset your anger. Is it really true they meant to offend me? Once you take those thoughts captive, you position yourself to reset your anger and clear the warning light on your dashboard by choosing to engage with a spirit-led response that enables you to execute an anger reset before anger drives you off course. Now that we've seen how thoughts fuel anger, let's consider some in-the-moment tools to cool down before you explode. First, spot the warning lights. Tune in to early body signals, that clenched jaw, tight shoulders, a racing heart, or trembling hands. Notice those behaviors. Raising your voice, pacing, or fidgeting. Those behaviors that tell you that your anger is ramping up. Then hit the brakes by taking thoughts captive. Pause and simply observe, "My chest feels tight. My thoughts are racing. I'm ready to snap." Count slowly from 1 to 10 or step away for a moment. This brief break creates space for your thinking brain to re-engage. Pray, "Holy Spirit, grant me grace to respond in grace and not in anger." and then breathe to reset your biology. Shift from shallow, rapid breaths to slow, deep breaths from your diaphragm. Inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 4 counts. Settle your body. Each calm breath activates your parasympathetic brakes, lowering your heart rate and blood pressure. And you can even pray a short prayer of thanksgiving. Jesus, thank you that you are my peace as you breathe. Use a timeout wisely. It is perfectly healthy to say, I need a few minutes. Let's pause this conversation. Physically remove yourself. Take a quick walk. Do a few stretches. Practice progressive muscle relaxation to burn off adrenaline. Whatever works for you. And finally, choose healthy outlets. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in the moment, to renew your mind with scripture-based thoughts that are relevant to the situation. Journal. Talk with a trusted friend, or channel energy into exercise or creative pursuits. Avoid aggressive venting or yelling into a pillow or hitting objects. Research shows that such venting can actually reinforce anger. In summary, notice anger's first sparks. Pause the cognitive distortions by taking thoughts captive and breathing. Step away if you need distance. Return calm and ready to respond. These moment-by-moment resets, paired with the mindset shifts we've covered, keep small sparks from igniting into destructive anger fires. Well, we've considered the physical and psychological aspects of anger. Now, let's tap into the spiritual dimension of anger for lasting transformation and the power to employ the anger reset. The Bible makes it clear that the flesh, the operating system of our old, unredeemed nature, inclines us toward selfish, destructive anger. In Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul warns that fits of rage belong to the flesh. Yet as believers, we've been given a new operating system, a new heart, a new spirit, and the Holy Spirit's power to live a new way according to God's righteousness. In Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul gives us a vivid word of caution about anger. He writes, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil a foothold." Here's what that means. It's normal to feel anger, but if we nurse it, harboring grudges, replaying offenses, we leave a door open for the enemy. Unresolved anger becomes unforgiveness. Unforgiveness becomes bitterness and division that the devil exploits to stir up further conflict and sin. Hebrews 12:15 refers to this bitterness as the bitter root that defiles many. Why does a foothold matter? Well, holding on to anger permits resentment to grow. Soon your thoughts and actions align against God's call to grace and unity. Spiritual attacks will follow. Pride whispers, you're justified in your rage, and lies tempt you to retaliate rather than forgive. The Word of God provides us with wisdom to prevent these footholds for the enemy. One prevention step is to engage in prompt resolution. Deal with offenses quickly. Confess, forgive, or graciously confront, so anger doesn't deepen into a foothold. Jesus instructed his disciples in Matthew 18, when your brother sins against you, go to him. Second, use forgiveness as a weapon. When you choose to forgive, you slam the door on Satan's schemes. The Word of God encourages us to forgive others as God has forgiven us, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. And finally, use the weapon of prayer and the Word of God. Invite the Holy Spirit to uproot bitterness and apply the love of Jesus Christ that has been poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. Remember, our new life in Christ is about more than just self-control techniques. It's fueled by the Spirit's power to renew our minds. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He has prepared for you to do. By resetting anger promptly and turning to God's grace, we resist the enemy's advances and we pursue the grace, peace, and unity Jesus purchased for us. Now let's explore how to partner with the Spirit daily to sustain this victory over anger. Up to now, we have focused on techniques and mindset shifts. But lasting transformation comes when we renew our minds and embrace our identity in Christ in reliance on the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. The Holy Spirit can help us renew our minds. Romans 12:2 reads, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." God calls us not to conform to the world's patterns, but to be transformed by letting His truth reshape our thinking. This exceeds the wisdom of psychology in challenging cognitive distortions. As we fill our minds with Scripture in a grace-centered perspective, our flesh-driven reactions begin to shift. In addition to changing the way we think about things, we can lean into our identity in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reads, "If anyone is in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come." You are no longer defined by your former hot-headed or fearful self, but by the life of Jesus Christ within you. In a moment of insult, remind yourself, "My worth is in you, Lord, not in this person's opinion." That truth acts like spiritual armor, shielding you from reactive anger. And finally, we can rely on the Holy Spirit. The Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control that counter fleshly rage. We can't manufacture these qualities on our own, but as we walk with the Spirit through prayer, renewing our minds, and making obedient faith choices, He cultivates them in us. We can take practical steps. We can memorize and meditate on verses like James 1:19 and 20, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." And Proverbs 16:32, "Better a patient person than a warrior." Let these truths rise to mind when anger sparks. We can remember and speak our new identity in Christ aloud in prayer. "Father, thank you that I am your child. Jesus, thank you for dwelling in me. Thank you that you never leave me or forsake me." We can invite the Holy Spirit to take the wheel in every conflict and ask, "Holy Spirit, grant me grace to respond with your self-control." Over time, truth-filled thoughts become your habitual default, so that instead of simmering in sin-fueled anger, you respond with the calm, grace, and love that reflect your true identity in Christ. Before we close this session, I want to introduce you to the Anger Reset Method. We will use this approach as we address the anger styles in the coming sessions. The Anger Reset Method takes into account the spectrum of ways that anger impacts us and uses each aspect: spirit, our relationship with Jesus Christ; soul, how we process our thoughts about anger; and body, the signals our body sends about anger and how they help short-circuit the amygdala hijack. As we, by God's grace, apply the anger reset approach when we experience anger, we establish a transformational response to anger that encourages submission to the Holy Spirit's leading and the application of God's grace in our relationships. Throughout our upcoming anger styles sessions, sessions 2 through 8, you'll see one simple but powerful framework in every session: the reset steps. It's a whole person roadmap, spirit, soul, and body, that guides you step by step from a flash of anger into God's peace and grace. RESET is an acronym, and the R stands for recognize the cues. Pause and acknowledge physical and psychological signs. The moment you sense that surge of adrenaline, your heart racing, your jaw tightening, maybe your pulse pounding, or the personalizing or catastrophizing, and recognize that the dashboard warning light is flashing. Stop. Call it out loud. I'm feeling anger. That single act of recognition already takes your brain out of autopilot, out of that amygdala hijack, and puts you in charge. The first E in reset, engage the spirit. Take thoughts captive and reframe. Here you turn your attention inward and upward. Catch the thoughts fueling your anger. Thoughts like, they did this to me on purpose. Then reframe them through your identity in Christ by fixing your eyes on Jesus rather than the activating cause. Lord, you never leave me or forsake me. I can extend grace even here. This realigns your mind with Scripture and invites the Holy Spirit into the driver's seat. S, settle the soul and body. Breathe. Pray and receive grace. Take intentional steps to pause the anger hijack. Use your breathing. Pray, count to 10, take a walk, whatever works for you. Remember that the Lord is always at work and you can experience His peace in the midst of temptation, in the midst of an anger-stimulating situation. Let God's grace wash over your tension, calming your nervous system and reminding you that He is your peace and He's at work within you. The second E is energize the soul. And here we renew our mind with Scripture. We draw on God's Word to fuel our next move. We feed our faith by giving attention to God's Word and our identity in Christ. We confess a verse that speaks to our situation and our struggle, such as Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, or James 1:19, be slow to anger. We let that living word reshape our heart and steady our spirit. The T is treat with grace. Sometimes that's treat others with grace. Sometimes it's treat yourself with grace. But plan for self-control. Make a concrete faith choice. Decide in advance how you'll respond. Maybe you'll gently confront or humbly confess or freely forgive. Maybe you'll take a time out or a brief walk or pause the conversation. But by mapping out a grace-filled next step, you replace reactive rage with intentional love. In each anger style module, we'll practice these five steps, whether discussing open aggression, passive aggression, displaced anger, constructive assertiveness. The anger reset can become your habit. Catching the spark of anger early, leaning on the Holy Spirit and God's grace, and turning conflict into opportunities for peace, growth, and deeper relationships. As I mentioned in the introduction, the anger reset is a grace-based approach. We reset anger by God's grace, not through guilt or mere willpower. We aren't trying to tough it out or erase anger through sheer self-effort. God's grace meets us in our struggles, doesn't keep a record of our stumbles, and empowers us to grow. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Because we're forgiven in Christ, we can be honest about our anger and learn from our failures. We aren't talking about eliminating anger from our lives in this course. It's a natural emotional response. We all get angry. But God can use our anger for His purposes. Sometimes we will fail and attempt to use anger for our purposes, not His. And when that happens, we don't have to fear His condemnation. Instead, we can be honest with Him about our anger, confess it, and start fresh under the banner of no guilt, no shame. And finally, we're never alone. God's grace is so great toward us. He never leaves us, even when we experience an angry outburst. Why does grace matter? Well, grace breaks the shame cycle. When we slip up, grace frees us from "I'll never change" defeatism. Instead, we confess, we thank God for His forgiveness, and we press on. Grace shapes our generosity. Remembering how freely God forgave us makes it easier to extend patience and mercy to others in moments of conflict. It is my prayer for you that over time, you'll see fewer anger warning lights on your dashboard. And even when they flash, you'll reset them more quickly, anchored in grace rather than guilt. You'll have a growing confidence that the Spirit God gives us does not want to engage in sinful anger. As Psalm 145:8 reminds us, our God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in mercy. May He grant you His grace and wisdom to execute the anger reset in a manner that brings great blessing to you and your relationships. So thankful for you and your enrollment in this class. God bless you, and I will see you in the next session.